Welcome to the Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Sarah Spiziali. She's going to share with us how she works in a really unique way with her clients, combining drama therapy, art therapy, creativity, dance and movement, as well as coaching, to really enable her clients to move forward with their lives. Hi Sarah, and welcome to the Animus podcast. It's great to have you here with us. So I realise that you've just qualified. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So how was your Animus journey?
Very intense and exciting. I started in July and didn't really know what I was signing up for, except for what I heard from the open day, and that sounded really good. And I've been on a very busy journey, and really, really insightful journey. So I came from an MA in drama and movement therapy, so I kind of had a feeling that I had a grasp on quite a lot of topics, and I was pleasantly surprised to discover how much I still could learn in the field of psychology through the Animus training. Yeah.
And what made you choose coaching?
I thought it was a great skill set to complement the therapy skill set I already had. So I'm a creative art therapist, and I thought coaching was quite a nice balance to the oblique method we adopt in arts therapies, especially in drama therapy. So we don't address necessarily the topic up front and directly, but it's more this oblique approach through the arts. And with coaching, I felt it was much more direct. At times, it could be you were allowed as a coach to be challenging with the client. And I thought it was, yeah, a good balance according to what clients you had. You could bring the therapeutic side in more or the coaching side in more.
So is that what you're doing now, that sort of a blended way of working with your clients?
Yes, I would say I bring a blended approach, because that's very much how I am, and my journey has been coming from education, and therefore that's informing as well my practice, and after education, the creative therapies, and then coaching is the last kind of card I've added to my deck. So I definitely use creativity and coaching, and I keep my therapeutic skills obviously present in the session if and when needed.
And so what, when you talk about your creative skills, what would they be? What are those things that you're bringing?
So personally, I've always danced, so that's my main art form. According to what setting I work in, that could come in. So movement awareness and movement exploration, so addressing issues and challenges and maybe senses of confusion through also how does the body engage in that. But then imagination, I would say, is the biggest art form, and that connects to the drama and the visual art form. So our minds think in images, our dreams are all images, so I very much believe in the symbolic nature of our way of communicating. So there's definitely a lot of talking, but in my sessions I would definitely invite the client to explore that, say artistically, so draw a feeling if you don't want to move with the feeling, because I think that's a bit outside of a lot of people's comfort zone, but they might have an image come to mind, and sometimes seeing that image and working in the session through that image can bring a lot of insight.
So that sort of reminds me of all of that metaphor work where we're using the image as a representation of the challenge or the issue that we're facing.
Exactly, yes. And by engaging with that metaphor and using your imagination to build on that metaphor, I find clients can find a lot of insights and move forward quicker than if they just stay at the cognitive, rational speaking level.
Yeah, I suppose, because it often reminds me of when our clients get stuck in their heads, like they're sort of losing out on so much more information. And so if we can get them to tap into their bodies and their imagination and their feelings and their physicality, they can access all of that as well.
Exactly. So if a client is interested in exploring more creative coaching, then there's absolutely that opportunity there for them because of my training. I feel very grounded in my practice, both as a coach and as a therapist, so I feel I can offer that containment and that holding for them to reach out of their comfort zone and maybe discover that actually they have a creative mind and they can address problems creatively.
And so what was the dance style that you trained in?
Everything and anything.
Okay.
I think it would be fair to say that I've now blended all those into creative movement and expressive improvisation. So I do a lot of improvised dance. I do five rhythms, movement medicine. It's all conscious dances, some would argue unconscious dances. So it's bringing the unconscious to the conscious through movement and dance. And there's a lot of literature. I would say Five Rhythms is possibly the most famous one by Gabriel Roth. Mm. And it's a very structured 2-hour session that the dancers engage with. And they're guided through different rhythms and different states of being. And usually through that, there's quite a lot of information that emerges. So I just came from a 2-day workshop just this weekend. And that was very insightful, yeah.
And so when you work with movement and art, are your sessions sort of the hour long, or do they go beyond that time frame?
So when I work as a coach, I work within an hour, and I would say that it's usually the awareness of the body that's addressed more so than the movement. So especially with people that suffer with anxiety, I work with a lot of teenagers and young adults. Being aware of your breath, being aware of where do you hold that anxiety in your body, where do you feel it, how do you feel it, and then how can you move it? So how can you address it through a physicality? And that's when maybe the movement would come in. But that's an evolving sphere of my practice, and I'd be very happy in the future to run group work where movement can be the focus. But currently it's one-to-one and engaging, particularly with the breath and the feeling of that emotion in the body at a small level.
And so with your sort of your more movement therapy and art therapy, is that over a longer period of time, would you say, with your clients than the hour for coaching?
Again, it's always an hour. So yes, it's always an hour, and it's always one-to-one. I didn't necessarily sign up to do only one-to-one work, but that's how it's unfolded since I qualified. And I quite like that one-to-one interaction, which is, I would say, you can go more into depth than possibly in a group setting.
And when you're working with your clients and they're talking about where their breath is or their experience where movement is inside them, does that also resonate for you? Do you sort of have a sense of that in your own body?
Well, I guess that's the counter transference that we would address in therapy. Part of a coach's job as well as a therapist's job is being able to be aware of the impact that clients have on you and be able to process that without having that come into the relationship in a negative sense. Of course, we're empathetic, and I'm very much an empathetic person, but we don't want our stuff to come in the mix.
Yeah.
So sometimes I might absolutely feel that at an empathetic level, and I'm aware of it, and then I kind of hold it lightly and put it aside, and very much mirror. I would say I'm often a mirror to my clients, and I'm very much a witness. So, for example, if the client is bringing a specific movement, then I would mirror that movement. And the client, by seeing that mirrored in me, would have an impact and would have a recognition that usually helps just, A, feeling a bit less judged or less crazy, some people say. And it's like, well, actually, no. It's normal. We can do it together. We can explore it together. So just today I had a client that would bring just that, something very physical, which was obviously in the mind, not in the body.
Yeah.
But by exploring it together and by being a bit crazy together with it, she definitely left that session feeling better.
So when you say a bit crazy together, is that, so in my head, the image is that you're both moving together and almost physically expressing whatever that might be.
Yeah, so it's not just the client bringing their physicality, but I mirror them, so I exchange with them the same quality of movement. So I'm not doing whatever I'm thinking about, but I'm picking up on what they're bringing and reflecting it back. So we definitely did move together, and by seeing someone else, for example, do a specific movement that was exactly what they were feeling, that in itself allowed them to open up more and to express, to feel safer, to explore that and to open up to maybe more depth of sensations or movement that would express something that she can't explain or he can't explain at a cognitive level.
So this I find this really fascinating, just in the sense, partly of how do you explain this to your clients? So when people sort of find you and they want to do some work, what's the language that you use to explain this work?
Well, I've used creativity as definitely the main umbrella term, because I believe that that's what we're talking about. But creativity is such a wide concept. I would say that I'm a qualified drama and movement therapist, because that's my title. I'm also a coach, so they would probably understand that I'm bringing something different to a traditional drama and movement therapy setting, and that I am open for them to bring creative material. But that's not to say that I'm imposing anything from my training onto them. So a lot of my sessions are only speaking, but maybe I would pick up on some metaphors, as you said, and then allow them, if they feel like it, to explore it a bit more. So that's what I feel makes my approach a bit different to other coaches that might not have that creative background.
And when you were training as a coach, were there any challenges in relationship to having already had that therapeutic background?
Yes, definitely so, yes, because you're so trained into a profession and you put so much work into training properly into a profession, and then you're like, oh no, wait a second, let me just rephrase all that and re-question all that. And one of the reasons why I connected to coaching and thought it would be a good step forward was it allowed more flexibility in my mind compared to therapy. So that was, you know, a bit of a challenge. So how do you integrate something to already existing profession and an existing practice? So I thought at first it was a question of balance. So where does your therapeutic role end and where does your coaching mode begin? Your role in relation to clients, is it exactly the same? Is it slightly different? I find people approach me with issues that are possibly dealt with by both a therapist and a coach most of the time. But the way I work with them would be different if they've contacted me, say, through a stream of work, which is therapeutic, versus a coaching stream of work.
So it sounds like you're really clear about they come into you as the coach, they come to you as a therapist, and then do you choose how you work with them? Do you sometimes swap that over? Or
so it's very much an integrated approach, a blended approach.
Yeah.
So I would say that the easiest way to explain it is, in my mind, if I find a client bringing a lot of very deep emotional material, a lot of hurt, maybe even trauma, I'm happy to have that therapeutic grounding knowledge that helps me feel very comfortable in supporting them, even if they need to go at a very, very deep level. I bring in more coaching skills when the client comes to me because they're stuck, because they don't really know what's going on, but they feel they want to go places, but they don't know in what direction, and they need a bit of a push, or they feel they want someone to walk alongside them, maybe be accountable to, and just help them figure stuff out, but they don't really need or want to stay much in the past. So for me, it's very clear that when I practice, coaching is from the present, moving to the future. Of course, the past is going to inform that present, but with the therapy, be it in therapy settings or coaching settings, it's when the client needs or wants to stay more in the past to then address and understand better the present and then obviously move on to the future.
So that might mean that you could work with a client for, you know, a long duration of time, looking at multiple aspects of their life and their past and what they want to achieve, and sort of be able to piece all those bits together with them.
Yes, exactly. So they might come to me for one issue and then something else comes out. And that's the exciting part of our work, right? We never know exactly what's going to emerge. And I'm a very curious person, so I'm always happy for them to go a bit deeper, go a bit further, push that boundary and comfort zone a bit, that door a bit open, a bit wider. So it's maybe also because of the both sides to me that I feel they can be free to do that and play with it a bit. And that's maybe the creative side as well. So I feel there's a lot of depth to my practice, but there's also lightness and maybe a bit of playfulness invited as well, even if the stuff addressed is quite significant and important.
I really like the sounds of that, that where you talk about there is depth and also lightness and playfulness, because I sometimes feel that we can get so serious about our work and how we're doing it that it becomes too heavy almost.
Yes, and some of the things that clients bring to coaching are very heavy and are extremely important. And I think the lightness helps to address some of those issues, with a bit of lightheartedness. And it's not to say that they're less important, but maybe that helps with the sense of being stuck and allowing that to flow a bit more. And I find creativity helps with that. And so according to what setting, there might be also some props, you know, some creative material or just at times stories.
I was about to ask you, actually, sort of what does your space look like that you work in? What might one see in that space?
Well, I work in different settings. But I would say that usually I always have at least a few decks of cards with images. So that's a prompt sometimes for imagery to surface. I also have some cards on different emotions. So some people can't pinpoint where they're at or what they're feeling. And sometimes having a visual, colorful image helps. I always carry around paper and pens and colored pencils and stuff, because crayons, in case, you know, they're available, but again, very much up to the client. If we go more into a drama therapy kind of kit, I have, you know, fabric, I have musical instruments, I have balls, Play-Doh, some, you know, how do you call them? Marionette, what's that in English?
Puppets.
Yeah, the finger puppets.
Yeah. It's interesting because back in the olden days when I trained as an actor, one of the things I did was also trained as a mime artist, and we used to do a lot of mask work.
Yeah.
And it was a really interesting way to express yourself, because when you put the mask on, it was almost like you weren't you anymore. You could become something else. And I remember the different projects that we did. It was really curious seeing what came out of people when they placed the mask on.
Yes, absolutely. There is a lot of that happening in this oblique and creative approach to addressing issues, because you feel less bound to your role, the stories we tell about ourselves to others and the role we play. And I definitely learned a lot about this in transactions, which was the most insightful of all my journey, going back to my to your question about my journey in Animas. Learned a lot. And so it's definitely bringing out that possibility of taking away your mask, creating a new mask, maybe different mask, or maybe just exploring what are the masks that we have and what mask maybe is creating the problem or the blockage right now, and can we change that? Can we draw on other masks? And some people would be very eager to talk in these terms.
So
if that's the case, then absolutely we'll go with that kind of creative approach.
Because it often reminds me of the work around identity. So who are we being? And so what are we placing on ourselves to cover up the real us inside, and how do we remove those layers to show our true selves out in the world? And I'm not sure who it was that spoke about this, but said that we often have layers of armour on us that protects the kind of the soft bit of us from the world, and it's when we strip that away the true self emerges and finds itself.
Yeah, I think you're talking about vulnerability, and I think that's so key to what I do. And I think part of my journey through the Animus course was getting more and more in touch with that and more comfortable as a practitioner to then allow the clients to walk into even more safe and grounded and open and non-judgmental space, because I think you can only do that once you've addressed those things yourself. So I think that's also another thing that being a therapist brings to my practice. To be a therapist, we've had to obviously do a lot of insight and a lot of introspection and a lot of therapy ourselves. So that's definitely something that's in the space with me and for the clients. Yeah.
So it's so fascinating hearing the different aspects of your work, and some of this reminds me of the work that I've done in the past, and it sort of makes me wonder about what is it that you continue to do to fuel how you're working? So what's your development?
So what I definitely keep on fueling is my creative side. So I keep dancing, I keep writing, journaling, doing art myself. I also go to events, I connect to other practitioners in various different fields, so from the business to the social to the educational, and just see what they're doing. And I'm very passionate about doing, for example, work in nature. I mostly work with women, not by choice, but again, it happened, and I very much like working with women. So working with the feminine energy, working with the feminine role in today's society. So again, connecting even with groups of male clients around that, and how does that integrate nicely with their roles, maybe in leadership versus some, you know, challenges that brings. I'm very much into mindfulness, so I go to mindfulness retreats and pop-up events, and I very much integrate all that in my practice and in my self-care to then be, you know, ready and fully present to hold the client's material. My background is in education, so how I got to the creative practice I'm currently in is through noticing the power and the impact creativity had in the educational systems, both in Italy, France, Iceland and Finland, where I studied. And so seeing how a holistic approach to human development and supporting people's talents versus pushing them in what is expected from them was very beneficial.
So this sort of reminds me of the work of people like Ken Robinson around creativity in education. And it also reminds me, I can't remember the name of the school now, but there's a school in Italy that its practice is very much about using art as the platform or the guidance to education. So that's the start point, and then allowing the young person to see where they want to take that, and then adding the education in around that sort of work.
Yes, and my family background is in applied theatre, so it's teaching English in Italy through creativity, through drama, through generating emotions and therefore generating learning. So that's my personal background and what I grew up around. A lot of actors, you know, putting on amazing shows for children around Italy to entice them into learning a language because it was fun and because it was meaningful, not because it was there on the blackboard.
Yeah.
So I think that was also part of my creative development and why I thought, well, creativity is my best way of connecting to people, and hence why I bring that in my coaching practice.
And you said there, you know, connecting with business, and it just made me curious about, so how do you manage yourself as a business with all these different elements that you bring together?
Well, I think creating my website was the biggest step, and then, you know, getting out there, networking. I had a few leadership roles in my past, and I very much enjoy that. So I thought coaching could also bring a more of that energy into my practice, and working with groups again and just pushing the boundaries of what I felt comfortable with. And I'm currently working both in education at the university the Royal Central School of Speech and Drama,
okay.
And also now having this private practice, which is obviously developing, and I would like to see it touch upon the world of business, where I think there's so much work to be done and amazing support to be given, especially through coaching, which is a recognized practice, less so than maybe creative art therapies.
And so what was it that made you choose Animus as your place to do your coaching?
I got a good gut feeling. So that's usually a good sign. I really liked the impression I got from the website. It felt a holistic approach to coaching. It felt like you were allowed and actually invited to become your best self coach, versus this is what you're going to look like and sound like when you qualify with us. And I think that was just reinforced when I went to meet Nick at the open day and a few of the staff members and just hear his approach to coaching, which taps in very much to my philosophical underlying belief of why coaching is so relevant to today's society and, you know, existentialism and Sartre. And yes, very much a humanistic approach to coaching. And I think that just, you know, ticked the box. And I was like, I'm in. And I just signed up there and then.
And so what's next? What's your vision? Where are you moving to?
So I'm going to start running retreats, initially in Italy for an Italian market, and then opening that up to the international market coming soon. I'm definitely keeping a foot in academia. I love staying in touch with the university side of things and research. I'm very passionate about education as well, where I'm currently working, and also the social impact. So I was lucky enough to do some amazing work in nature with the Wilderness Foundation a few weeks ago, and just building on that. So building around, I would say, nature, mindfulness, and creativity.
So it's been really fascinating speaking with you today, and a lot of what you said has really resonated with some of the work that I've done when I've worked in drama and I've worked with young people. So if somebody wanted to find you, where would we need to look?
So you can look at my website, saraspeziali.com, and on the Animus Coaching Directory and other coaching directories, as well as some conferences coming up, and probably I'll be publishing some articles soon in some specific magazines in coaching. And cool. Psychotherapy.
Lovely. It's been a real pleasure talking with you, Sarah. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Cheers.